Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, it's Dynamite Show. Paul Fontaine, Jeff Hawkins. So before we get started tonight.
That video did not do what I thought it was going to do, but okay.
Oh, really? Oh.
It showed us, right? Instead of just cutting us off. Never mind, go ahead, sorry.
Okay, that's all right. So before we get started, I just got to say, my notes today are not quite as thorough as they usually are, because basically I spent... I don't know. Like, it takes me about 100 minutes to watch the show. I you know, between fast forward and commercials and stuff, and I can get through. And so for that 100 minutes, I was dealing with like a whiny child. But enough about Tony Khan. Let's get into this show.
My popular request, by the way, I'm wearing my Fender Bomb and Blake shirt from Cannonball Run.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you brought that up last night.
Well, I can't put it on the camera all the time.
Oh, but, my God, this damn show. Okay.
Am I going to be the positive one tonight, even though it's like more bemused snark?
I was going to say, if you're positive on this show, like...
I'm not positive.
Okay. Before we get into this show, let's just do a little bit of background.
Okay.
But before we do, quick sidebar. Should have warned you about this.
Okay.
If you were in the Discord today, you're going to know what I'm talking about. And if you weren't, you won't. And that's most of you. So, but that's okay, because AEW today talked about stuff that most of the people watching didn't know what they were talking about anyway. So, do you know what it means to spill tea?
Yes.
Okay. I don't. I didn't before today.
Oh.
I assumed it was the UK version of spilling the beans. Which, I mean, it's kind of similar, but like, I've never heard that expression. And
gossip. It's gossip.
Yeah, it's gossip. And I didn't know that. So when Will Ospreay was promoting the show tonight, he didn't promote that he was going to be doing a promo. He didn't promote the world title eliminator match. He promoted the Bucks footage. And his only promotion was, anybody ready for some tea? And of course, because I don't know what that means, I assumed it was a UK thing because it's tea. So I asked in the Discord and then, oh, surely you've heard of spilling the tea. And our esteemed leader, Garrett, posted a GIF of Kermit the Frog spilling a glass of tea or
sipping tea. Yes.
Whatever. I don't know. He said, surely you've seen this. I'm like, no. And if I did, I still wouldn't know what it meant.
I'm more up to date on this than you are. Then this
I
is
guess
fun.
I asked my wife, you know, same age as me. She knows about it, but that's because she works with a bunch of young people. I work with a bunch of grown adults, so we don't communicate in memes and we don't gossip behind each other's back. And you know, so whatever. So that was eating my craw today. So I was in a bad mood already, and this show. I mean,
let it out. Come on, bring it.
Alpha Omega is asking, what's a Discord? If you want to send GG at Fight Game Media, so GG at fightgamemedia.com, an email, he'll send you the link for the Discord. We'll get you in there. If you're a listener of the show, you can get in the Discord.
You know, Paul, but you bring up a bigger point to me.
Sure.
Will Ospreay, big free agent.
Yeah.
Mercedes Moné, big free agent.
Yep.
Kazuchika Okada, big free agent.
Know where you're going.
All three are on your show.
Yep.
And the thing you plugged
was footage of a guy you fired 9 months ago.
Yes, who is the third most popular person in the other company right now.
Yeah, and okay, so let's talk about that. So yeah, not only that, they were on the show. So one of my complaints going into this show, I looked at the lineup and I'm like, you just signed all these free agents. Why aren't they on the show? They were on the show. We had a sit-down interview with Mercedes. We had an in-building promo with Will Ospreay. I love Will Ospreay promos. If they had told me there was going to be a Will Ospreay, Renee Paquette interviews Will Ospreay, great. Okada's going to do a squash match. Awesome. I love Okada squash matches. No, they didn't advertise any of that. They advertised a Tony Storm champagne celebration. They advertised Jericho and Hook against Shane Taylor Promotions. They advertised, you know, the Bucks footage, which is all anybody was talking about. And the dumb thing about that is even that Bucks footage, if you watched Collision, which I did, which, why did I do it? I don't know.
For Yuka Sakazaki.
Sure. They brought that up on the show. They said the Young Bucks are going to present backstage, never before seen footage from All In. That's all they said. Mm-hmm. When I first saw that, my immediate thought was, okay, they want you to think it's the CM Punk footage, but they're not going to show the CM Punk footage. It's going to be some hokey thing with the Bucks and FTR to build up the Bucks FTR match. I would have rather saw that than what they did. And I know a lot of people would have been upset because
they also plugged Penta and Copeland.
Yeah, they plugged Penta and Copeland, which, you know, whatever. It was a
WWE. Yes, they are not plugging Mercedes Moné on this show at all.
Nope. And this was the first time Okada's been on the show in a month. They didn't plug that. Ospreay doing a promo. I'm telling you, to me, that's a draw. That gets me interested in the show. Okay. Ospreay's a great promo. But if I knew what he was going to talk about, I would. If they would have said, you know, Ospreay's going to do a promo talking about
why they're in second place, and we can just point to a lot of things on this show. And
oh my God.
No offense to anybody who is a tribalist. This is not going to be the show for you.
Promo. You know what they don't understand? And this hit me after the show.
Basic
was over.
Build.
That's, you know, the whatever.
Appropriate times to draw blood. What?
No, what they don't understand is most of the people that watch their show also watch the other show. They don't understand that. The people that are vocal online, the hardcore tribalistics, we're probably talking to like 25% of their audience that make a lot of noise. Most people just turn on wrestling and want to watch wrestling. That's most of your audience.
But see, I push back a little bit on that because that's the whole point from the AEW Tribalists is we watch wrestling to watch wrestling.
Oh, really? Well, you didn't get that tonight.
No, I know that.
Because when the Edge match was over, I counted 35 minutes until the next match started. And that 35 minutes was spent talking about WWE.
Well, let me workshop something that my co-host on Shake Them Ropes, Chris Novembrino, said, and I think it's close. I think we're in the neighborhood.
Okay.
He goes, the AEW tribalists don't want good wrestling. They want to tell you that AEW, what they're doing, is good wrestling.
Okay. So even this goofy Bucks FTR angle, that's wrestling, even though it's not wrestling.
Parts of these things are wrestling, though. I mean, I don't look. The voices of wrestling Slack, which is full of all the contributors and stuff. You know, they kind of enjoyed the matches on this show. So, and that's what they want. They want the matches. It's the compilation / you know, super indie crowd that you know what they want is this. They want PWG every week,
right? Okay.
Well, I mean, PWG doesn't have promos. It doesn't do the stuff that television wrestling does. I mean, okay, yeah. It has promos on their DVDs, but, you know.
Like some of the stuff that wasn't wrestling, like, you know, like I like the post-match after Okada, you know, where Pac came down and then they beat them down. And, you know, that was good. That was good build for the matches at the pay-per-view.
Look, like, nothing encapsulates this argument better than Ospreay going out there that this is AEW and this is wrestling, and we cut to a Julia Hart House of Black lore promo.
I gotta tell you, like,
from the second
Will Ospreay said, the only reason you have the job you have is because you're a bone in the boss's daughter, I checked out. I literally did not pay attention to a single word he said after that. So I missed the This Is Wrestling. I'm not even kidding. Like, I just...
Oh, you literally turned it off, huh?
I didn't turn it off. I was dumbfounded. The next thing I remember seeing was a Julia Hart promo. Like, I literally, like, I, you know, normally I'm writing down everything everybody says, and I'm like, wait, what? And I mean, I suppose I could have rewound it, and I was like, no, I'm not. It's not worth my time.
Internet criticism drives this.
They're building a match that's never going to happen. CM Punk or Will Ospreay against Triple H, and the Bucks versus CM Punk. Like, unless that's Forbidden Door 3, what are we doing? Like, what was this freaking show? This was building a pay-per-view between AEW and WWE, I think. Like, you know, I don't know.
They
did a good job of making CM Punk a babyface
on this show, and it's even like the little things baffled me. I'll give you an example. I'll take away a good point I was going to have later in the show.
Sure.
Why is Shibata in this six-man when we used him to build up Ospreay and Danielson, only to beat him again for this Hook White Jericho bitch fest that they're doing outside the ring? If you're going to make beating Shibata special, you don't then have him lose to Shane Taylor Productions. No offense to Shane Taylor Productions. It was a quote-unquote quality win, but it's a win that didn't matter because everything was focused on the two bickering dopes on the outside.
As Excalibur's saying, biggest win of Lee Moriarty's career. The camera's focused on Jericho and Hook yelling at each other. We never saw Lee Moriarty again. You know, we'll probably get an interview on Rampage that nobody watches where Lee Moriarty talks about his big win.
And now I'm ready to move up the ladder, and he gets a match on Rampage or Collision against somebody better who beats him.
Yes.
And then he's right back where he started.
Lance Archer.
Brian Keith.
No. Brian Keith doesn't win.
What? Brian Keith victory. Okay. Oh, so Lance Archer.
It's not happening.
No, you're right. Lance Archer.
Lee
Johnson.
Brian Cage. Where the hell is Brian Cage? Yeah,
Ethan
Page.
He'll
wrestle Brian Danielson again. Claudio. Claudio, there's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They'll lose to somebody on that level. That'll be great.
Oh my God, this show. I'm like,
I'm just laughing at it because it's the biggest. And also, I'm watching my Twitter feed while I'm watching as well, and I'm watching the heartbroken, like, AEW super fans are just like, yeah, this is the time. This is the time we're going to have to fight back now against this hot Raw. And all this is, and they're apoplectic. They are sad. They are discouraged. And I get it, man.
Oh my God.
I get it. Cause this company, the tone of this show was gotten to.
And I want to ask, and we'll talk about it when we get to the segment, but why did they air this footage? Like, what did it show? What did I miss in this footage?
CM Punk throwing the first punch.
So what?
Well, it's funny because my improv partner watches live with his girlfriend, who's a city attorney. It's like, yep, that's basic assault right there. It's like, well, they're not prosecuting him.
You know why? Okay, so they aired that footage. What happened? What happened after this brawl?
Tony came out and said he feared for his life.
Okay, and so what did he do because he was afraid, feared for his life?
He fired Punk.
Right, and what about the guy that got hit? What happened to him?
He got ghosted by his boss, apparently, and sent to New Japan.
He got suspended, right? So what's the first thing we saw on this show? We saw a guy getting on the way to the ring. It was a shove more than a punch. Alpha
okay,
Omega,
it might have been like a pie face or whatever. I've watched it now twice.
I saw it as a light shove. You said a punch. I wasn't going to question.
I wasn't sure. Well, see, the first time I thought he didn't do anything. I thought Perry had shoved him back or had just had started.
It was either a shove or a punch. You know,
and
whatever.
Then I watched again, and it looked like Punk threw a punch.
But it wasn't hard. Like, he didn't drop him or anything. It was more of
he's never dropped anybody with a punch.
No. Ask Mickey Gall. Or even Mike Jackson. But the first thing that we saw on the show was Swerve Strickland attacking Joe on his way to the ring and putting him through a table and costed a match that was scheduled to air. They had to delay it for 90 minutes. How come he wasn't fired?
Because that's kayfabe.
Oh, So this is real. This is kayfabe. So we're WCW now. Right? Is that like, is that what we're doing here?
Yes.
We're talking about it right now, Joe.
Yes, yes, the fake well, see, there's the fake world of AEW. Well, and then there's the real world, which we bring into the fake world to make it seem like it's the fake world of AEW.
But you know what? Like, most people that are watching the show just want to watch this damn show.
Yes.
Like, I, you know, like, oh my God.
This is what will turn those WWE fans against Punk. No.
And you know what? Like, WWE just had their biggest
chance in the building for CM Punk when they were showing this footage.
Well, you know why? Because they babyfaced him.
Yes.
Because the Bucks are heels, and the Bucks sat there and cut down CM Punk. And then FTR to cement the CM Punk, because FTR is surrogates for CM Punk, right?
Yes.
So because FTR are his buddies, they come out there and they cut a babyface promo. So of course the fans are going to chant CM Punk.
Well, yes, and it's also just so ridiculous because what is CM Punk's character? He's an anti-authority jerk.
Yes, yes.
And so what do we show him as? An anti-authority jerk on this show. And boom, oh my goodness.
Then they call Jack Perry the scapegoat.
And here's the other.
What does that even mean? What is he the scapegoat for? Punk got fired. How is Perry? Punk should be the scapegoat.
And if there's a week to do this, this is not the week, because this is a week where wrestling is white hot. And if people want to watch more wrestling, they may give this show a try.
Yep. And what did they see?
I'm just, every decision on this show seemed to be incorrect in some way.
Yeah. Well, let's get into this show.
Other than I liked Copeland and Penta a lot.
I didn't. So my thing is,
okay, I liked it a little.
My thing is, like what I said about the notes, I mean, that was kind of a shoot. My notes, because especially after the Bucks footage, are just, they're nothing.
I can't believe they did this big of a draw up for it to just show a video in silence. It wasn't ironic. They did it straight. And it was, the whole tonnage, I was like, okay, they're going to do something wacky and they're going to bring back Perry somehow, or this FDR wasn't even in the video.
No, nope.
Chris Hero was in the video. Mookie was in the video.
Was he?
Yeah. Mookie was in the foreground in the hat talking to the two people who were blurred out.
I'm just looking at my notes here and I'm looking at last week's show.
Go to figure four's notes then. We'll still.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
Liberal.
Yeah, I made some good notes too. But yeah, I just.
Put Kevin,
I guess
put Kevin's comment on the screen.
I guess I saved the wrong thing. Kevin's comment. This show was like when you go out for drinks with your friends and one of your buddies had a fight with his girlfriend beforehand and ruins everyone's night because he can't stop complaining. There you go. AEW looks terrible. They should have just left it alone. I get why they did it, but still, I don't.
Isaac in the chat, tell me why they did it.
But while we're waiting for Isaac's response, Jeff, what's your favorite TV show?
Right now?
Yeah.
Or ever?
Either. Just give me a show you like.
I really like Justified.
I don't know that one. Give me one I would know.
News Radio.
Okay, News Radio. So you remember that episode of News Radio where Dave Foley, just in the middle of the show broke into a monologue of the producer of Kids in the Hall that he hated?
No, I can't recall that one, Paul.
Okay. Well, that's what this was.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
I should have said Curb Your Enthusiasm because you could have.
They probably did do that on Curb Your Enthusiasm. That would be a bad example. I was thinking of NCIS, but I knew you weren't going to pick NCIS. So I had my thing.
No, I will not watch NCIS. A former student of mine is now on NCIS.
Someone else analyzed the Zapruder film, and I put my kitchen foil hat on after watching it a few times. See, I think this is what they're hoping for, that people are going to like watch this a bunch of times and they're going to get more minutes viewed.
See, that's where Punk throws the first punch. He's the bad guy here and everybody's...
Perry somehow ended up bent over in place for the front face lock. Punk might have grabbed his hair maybe. I don't care. It was nine months ago. It's been dealt with.
It was a scuffle that happens in a testosterone-fueled business. See, I kind of side with Punk a little bit on that whole, hey, you know, these things happen in sports and in...
I read Dave Meltzer's recap. I didn't listen to the Punk interview because I really don't care what Punk has to say. I didn't watch a Triple H interview on McAfee because I really don't care what Triple H has to say outside of being on TV. But I did read Dave Meltzer's recap because I do care about what Dave Meltzer has to say. So Dave Meltzer recapped the Punk thing. And when I finished reading it, I leaned towards Punk on what he had to say in a lot of that. And what's happened since then has completely vilified Punk, in my opinion. Not about whatever happened at All In. That's, I'm talking about the guys that these guys aren't running a business. These guys are like, I mean, they're gotten to, first of all. Like, for what it's worth, Punk,
they only care about good matches, not drawing tickets.
Well, apparently they don't even do that now.
But I mean, he said that. Does that make him a villain in your eyes? Because to me, it was
but I think in a way he's right. Because I mean, we've talked about this on the show too, like that, you know, like they're not interested in building the matches; they're just interested in having the matches.
Yes,
right. So if that's it, that's fine. That's what he was saying, and he said Tony's a nice guy.
Uh-huh. But he's not a boss.
He's not a boss, and
I agree with that. I agree with all those statements.
Yeah.
Well, he is a boss in title. Yes, Chad is on fire tonight. Read that.
Dean. Yeah, well, he stole that from our text exchange. Sorry, Dean.
Yes, no, we are not getting Punk versus TK at Dynasty, unfortunately.
Read some of these things, because I really do want my notes. So I'm going to go run and grab my notes. I'm just going to, what am I going to do here? I'm going to shut off my cam and mute my mic for a minute. Not even, 30 seconds maybe. Hang on.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
I'm just going to vamp a little bit here. It's one of those things where if you take my list of where is AEW weak, it hit every weakness that they have. And look, I know that us and the Boom have had may it rest in peace, but we disagreed on pettiness. And I don't know. I'm watching this and I watch other things in this kind of, you know, space and other things. And it's, you know, who's always petty? The person in second. Not that the person in first isn't petty at all, but always petty is second place. And it's just one of those things where it's like they want the fight, they want the fight, and then they get the fight. And if they don't like the results of the fight, well, then they're in trouble, because it's like AEW Nation was so so smug when NXT got run off. I'm getting a flag now. I don't know why, but I mean, it was just, and now it's like every excuse in the book. Well, they haven't been around as long. They're still new. They're still a growth company. That's unfair to compare them one-on-one. If you wanted this fight, you got the fight, kids. And unfortunately, you're going up against a hot product, a white hot product.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of those people. Was it Dave or was it somebody else I was listening to who said, you know, they say a rising tide raises all ships. Not true. People go with the winner. Usually people go with the hot hand.
Here's a great point from Richard.
Did I miss Excalibur and Taz congratulating Cody a la Sting getting a shout out on Raw? Must have been in the overrun, surely. Oh my God. You guys, I need all of you in here because you have better material than me tonight.
So remember from, I'd say, about 2014 to about maybe all the way into 2020, right before the pandemic, when WWE sucked, what did the fans chant whenever they didn't like what they saw?
CM Punk.
Right. What did the fans chant tonight?
CM Punk.
Okay, there we go. He thought he saw Dax walking behind the desk with Chris Hero in the footage. Yeah,
I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's.
There's going to be people analyzing this thing like the Zapruder film. I mean,
they are. Oh, and yeah. You know what? You know what's going to end up? Mookie's to blame here.
Well, not only that, but there's going to be like, they're going to claim that they got way more viewership from this because people are going to watch this thing 50 times, and that's 50, you know, 3 minutes times 50 times. That's 150 minutes.
I will say a mea culpa. I didn't recognize Dax if he was back there. I saw Chris Hero.
Yeah. All right. I got my notes.
Back into the left.
So we started out right away with Samoa Joe and Dustin Rhodes. Joe's being brought to the ring, and then like I mentioned earlier, he gets attacked by Swerve. He immediately took control, but then Swerve got it back. He speared Joe through a table. Joe was just lying there all knocked out. And with the length of time that Edge match went, I honestly thought maybe he really was hurt. Like, you know, because the way they did this was like they were scrambling, like, oh my God, what are we gonna do? This match was supposed to happen right now. So what is this? AW copyright striking videos showing the incident between CM Punk and Jack Perry from All In that they themselves aired on Dynamite. Is this for real? Oh yeah, they're WWE now, so yes, they would be doing that. So now we don't know what's going to happen with the main event. Joe might be injured, and Swerve is the one that did it. And as far as I know, Swerve hasn't been arrested, hasn't been fired. So I guess, you know, it's okay to attack people on their way to the ring. Just don't do it backstage.
Kudos to the commentary team for not saying finish the Dustin finish the story.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll do
they
that.
They at least restrain themselves a bit, but as to that copyright striking thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you all think you were different?
We got a video recap of the best friends breaking up last week, and they showed at the very end of it, Trent whispering something in Chris Statlander's ear. So she's going to be turning on Willow and joining up with Trent. That's what I got from that. I don't know if that's what you got, but Matt, who is...
Repeat that. What segment are we talking about?
The video package with about the best friends breaking up. At the very end of it, they showed Chris Statlander, Trent whispering something in her ear, and then her looking like not upset with it. So I think we're going to see Chris turn on Willow and join up with Trent.
Yeah, I'll talk about Chris later tonight.
Okay. So Matt is a big AEW fan, and I chat with him a lot. This whole thing got me excited to be Bucks versus FTR. Hard to gauge other people's reactions to it because so many deep down want AEW to die, even if they claim otherwise. I don't want AEW to die. Already excited for Bucks versus FTR before this. I was less excited about it. And I will say that somebody who I was texting with during the show, who already bought his tickets for Double or Nothing, already paid for a flight to Double or Nothing, has gone to every Double or Nothing and many other shows, asked, could we just cancel this program already?
Wow.
So, yeah. So that exact quote.
I'm going to Double or Nothing.
He doesn't want AEW to die. Surely we'll get audio from Trent and Chris in 9 months. Yeah.
Long-term storytelling, Richard.
That joke will be told many times over the next little while. And then we got Renee outside Orange Cassidy's locker room. She mentioned that he's got a match on Friday and he will address the heartless actions of Trent Barretta after his match. So we'll find out later who Orange Cassidy's opponent is. Rampage this week. Don't watch it. Just don't watch it. I'll do the rundown later. Find something else to do on Friday night. You do not need to watch Rampage.
Unless that Rampage is the most missable Rampage in some time.
Unless you want to see the Bucks, unless you want to see the Punk footage again, because I'm sure they'll show that. All right. Next, we got Penta and Adam Copeland in a TNT title match. They basically had a WWE SmackDown main event match.
Yes.
Went through two commercial breaks, just over 20 minutes. They did by the end get This Is Awesome chance, but most of it, the crowd was just not kind of reacting. They were kind of dead all night. They peaked for certain points, and the end of this match was one of them. So the finish came when Penta went for his arm breaker spot, pinned him for two, went for a Storm Zero, which he'd been going for the whole match. He did hit an Avalanche Code Red at one point. Fans actually bought that as a three count. That's actually when they picked up. But he went for a Storm Zero. Excalibur says, we just hit the 20-minute mark, and then that it's going to be a 30-minute time. And I was wondering how long this was going to go. Because during this match, they put up a countdown clock of how many minutes we had until the Bucks were going to show their footage. If you only watch Dynamite, you had no idea about this footage. You have no idea what they're talking about.
True.
But, yeah.
If you weren't following on Twitter.
No. If I didn't
Which, again... Is a weakness of this product is they think that everybody's on the internet at all times and knows everything.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So here, Penta went for something off of the ropes. Like he did a springboard, something, and Edge hit him with a spear in midair. Cool finish. It was a good match. I was just bored. That's all. I didn't hate it or anything. I was just bored.
I was kind of surprised at how well Copeland worked with Penta, because Penta can be a little difficult.
Fair.
It looks like he stiffed him at one point.
Abrahante got speared outside the ring at 1.2, and the crowd booed that. He was aiming for Penta, and he hit Abrahante.
I was a little worried that Penta concussed Copeland at one point. Because there was a moment there where they're talking on the ground there. And I was like, no.
After the match, when we'll get into the interview later, but Edge, I think he was out of it when he did that interview.
Okay.
Because I don't think it was by design, but he basically, Willow said something, asked him a question, and then he just basically acted like he didn't hear the question and said exactly what she had just said.
We'll talk about that during the promo.
Okay. All right. But so he wins, and then lights go out while he's celebrating. Come back in. Julie Hart was in the ring. She confronted him. Brody King attacked him from behind. I assume Brody's been fired. He puts him in a rear naked choke. I'm wondering who's going to make
my favorite running joke of yours, because I never get it until I realize, oh yeah, okay, that's why he's saying it.
So I'm wondering, you know, I figure okay, Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe are going to make the save, right? Because they're doing that six man.
Yeah.
No, Willow makes the save. Except Willow doesn't really make the save. She attacks Julia, who's just standing there. And then Brody lets go of the choke because he's trying to save Julia. And then that allows Edge to recover. And then it was right here that I realized, oh, they're probably going to do a mixed tag. And then sure enough,
saved Julie in the weirdest way. It was dragging her across the ground instead of just, you know, giving Willow a little shove or something.
He almost like grabbed her and just like tossed her. Like it was weird. Much. Yeah, it was weird.
Very odd staging. And I'm sure they're trying to avoid criticisms.
I can't recall. And this is kind of cool, actually. And here I'm going to put over something they did tonight. And there's, you know, there's a few things that were good on the show. But the having a woman save a man from an attack, that's different. You don't really ever see that. I kind of like it.
But she's, well, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, the fans bought it. So
Willow on the show is always a net positive. I think,
exactly.
Because it'll get the crowd cheering. So yeah.
Yep. We go backstage to remarkable Renee Paquette, and she's there with Lionhook and Shibata. And at first I thought Jericho was wearing a Hook shirt, but when they did a close-up, it was actually Lionhook, so it's new merch. And he says he's glad that Hook is listening to him, and he says, I got strategy for this match. And as long as Hook and Shibata stand under my learning tree, it's going to work. So we're going to start the match. I'm going to take out Anthony Ogogo. And yeah, if you miss Collision, which is 80% of the people that watch this show, Anthony Ogogo returned on Collision.
Yeah.
And he's in Shane Taylor Promotions now, or production, sorry. And so he says, I'm going to take out Ogogo, and then Hook, you're going to take out Taylor, and then Shibata, that'll leave you with Lee Moriarty. And as long as you guys all listen to me, we got this. And you got it. All right. And Shibata the whole time is just staring at him. I'm pretty sure the gimmick is he doesn't even understand English.
Yes.
But, yeah. So because he's got this phone and he does the translating. So when they're done, he says, you know, got it, bro. And then Shibata, you know, types something into his phone and it says, what's his deal? And then Hook just looks at him and says, we got this. Trust me, bro. He walks off. And then Shibata types something else into his thing. And he tells Renee, I really like your necklace. I howled. That was so funny.
It was funny, but I don't want Shibata in this role. I want him gone at least, or at least, you know, revered a little bit, because we were using him to get over the main event at Dynasty. So it's, I understood it. It was cute. I laughed as well. It's just one of those things where it's just,
I gotta star this, and I'm gonna put that up again later. All right, I'll let Dean and Matt deal with this in the chat. All right. So yeah, I like that. Jericho.
I thought it was fine. I like Hook and Shibata as a team more than Jericho.
Well, that's what you're going to get, because yes, pretty clearly here they're building that Jericho's an asshole that only cares about himself, which is, yes, cool. We're getting some advancement finally. So they showed highlights of past Bucks and FTR matches in 2020 and 2022. Mm-hmm. And then they showed footage of All In, and they reminded us that after FTR beat the Bucks refused to shake their hands. You know what? Between that and the tournament that they did to build this match, we could have just done a promo with the Bucks talking about how we want to revenge our loss. You could have done a promo. They could have even said, we were distracted, we're not going to talk about why. I'd have been fine with that. FTR could have done a promo. We've already beaten you twice. We're going to beat you again. We're going to cement the fact that we're the greatest tag team of all time. Blah, blah, blah. That's all you need. This other shit, you don't need. But there's a lot of hardcore fans like Matt that I'm totally acknowledge are going to be more behind AEW after this than they were before. I fully acknowledge that. But there are going to be some people that maybe like both companies that are now going to be like, what are we doing here? So anyways, before we get to the Bucks, we got Renee with Mark Briscoe and Eddie Kingston. They just had the Arch title match on Friday, and if you didn't see that, which is probably most of you, although most of you probably also know the result, Mark Briscoe won the Ring of Honor title. It was a very good match that they had on the pay-per-view. Asked how you felt. Mark says, I feel amazing, but I'm also in pain. We had a dogfight. It was a war. And Eddie Kingston says he's confused. Well, it was because Mark was trying to say spontaneous or simultaneously, and he said something like a combination of simultaneously and spontaneously, and Eddie made fun of him for that. And then he said, this is pro wrestling, not ballet. And then randomly, Adam Copeland walks in. He's huffing and puffing, and Willow and Stokely are right behind him. And Willow says she has a great idea. And then Stokely says, yeah, Copeland, I want you to put the title up against Willow Nightingale next week. And then Willow kind of looks at him like, what? And then she says, no. I said, how about me and you against Julia and Brody? And then Edge said, talked about the Rated Chicken Hawks, which is him, Mark, and Eddie. Terrible name. And then he says, I got a better idea. How about me and you against Julia and Brody King next week on Dynamite? I don't think this was supposed to be comedy. I could be wrong. I mean, the chicken hawks thing was.
Let's just take the serious route first. If Copeland was concussed,
yeah,
it's understandable. I think this is the dangers of the quote unquote live promo when a pre-tape will do you just as well. Because it's one of those things where I think Edge lost his place on his beat sheet in his head.
Yeah.
When Stokely did the Willow challenging Copeland thing, got the laugh, and then you could see. Now, did he lose it before Stoke was trying to apologize to Kingston?
No, that was after. That was
okay.
I think, yeah, because yeah, he started apologizing to Kingston for a bunch of stuff that he said, probably on social media. Maybe it was on TV.
This is the
and fault Eddie just of, walked away on him.
This is the fault of not look. People complain about over-scripting. This felt like the fault of underscripting, and somebody just lost what their beat line was. And so I think Copeland wasn't paying attention to Willow and what she was saying. And so he goes, oh, we need to hit that beat. I'm going to hit that beat right now. And it just made him look like he wasn't paying attention or he had memory loss, one of the two.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've seen this. They've done this before with the Guns and the Acclaimed where, you know, but that was clearly because they did it like four separate times where, you know, like when Cole, I think it was Austin would say something and then they'd all ignore it. And then Billy would say the same thing and they'd be all, yeah, that's a great idea. So, you know, it was like that, but it also did not seem like it was planned.
You have all day there to do these pre-tapes, do pre-tapes and have a couple takes. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm reading a comment here and I don't understand it. I just okay, never mind. We'll go on.
Pay attention to me, not the chat. All right.
Sorry, there's a lot more chat than we usually have.
Yeah.
All right, the Bucks backstage with their footage. Okay, so Matthew interrupts him and he says, "We got to supply some context here. AW, we got a massive pay-per-view coming up on April 21st, finals of the tag team tournament. Last time we wrestled FTR was at All In. I still have wounds that haven't healed, and this opens up the wounds. It was the biggest show in company history." Biggest show we've ever been a part of with FTR and the Bucks. Lots of fans that said whoever wins this match will be the greatest tag team of this generation. And then right before the match, there was an incident. And first involved the scapegoat, Jack Carey. This lovable kid from Southern California reminds us of us at his age. Someone once said this about Jack. If you got a problem with Jack Perry, you just have a problem. And the other individual tried to make this about himself. And this individual happens to be good friends with FTR. And maybe FTR were the masterminds behind the whole thing. You know what's interesting about that? I'm going to take a sidebar here. I am 100% convinced that the Bucks are the ones that put Jack Perry up to doing what he did. And nobody's ever going to convince me otherwise. I think that this is something they used to do on BTE all the time. Shit that was there to needle people. And it wasn't obvious, but it was an if you know, you know thing. And he says, hey, you know what you should do? After you slam Hook into the thing, just look into the camera and say, this is real glass. That's a total BTE line. And I 100% think that came from Matt and Jeff or Matt and Nick. But maybe I'm wrong. Regardless, they put it on FTR. They think that FTR put Punk up to attacking Jack Perry, I think is what they're saying.
I'll let you climb that hill.
All right. Matt says, you can't just start rumors about people. Well, I guess I just did. while we're dealing with the fallout from this incident, we were off our game. The locker room is in disarray. People needed answers. We didn't have time to get to pray like we usually do. And if you look at it, yeah, FTR beat the Bucks, but we should all agree there should be a giant asterisk. And the incident itself isn't even the worst part. It was short. It was like a high school scrap. I'm going to argue this. The ramifications that came out of this incident threatened to take down our biggest show of all time, but it didn't. And then they show the footage. And this is what I wrote, what I saw about the footage. You correct me if I missed anything. Punk walked up to Perry. They exchanged words. We couldn't hear anything. And what we could see was grainy and from a distance. Jack was playing with his hair. Yeah. We see Joe in the background. Punk shoved Perry. He went down. Joe broke it up. And a bunch of people pulled Punk aside. And that was it. Did I miss anything?
I would say this. Punk either pie-faced or threw a punch at Punk. Perry came in, got him in the headlock. Joe broke it up. Punk immediately went around to the gorilla position or whatever and was screamed something at Tony.
Did we see Tony?
And then got walked out. You didn't see Tony, but okay. You could tell he was
okay.
In that position. That was the gorilla position. I mean, that was like the place you see in WWE where guys are behind monitors and everybody's kind of warming up there, you know, before they go out. But yeah, he screamed something and just stormed off. I think that's where he said, I quit and left. That's pretty much I mean, it was an attempt at. I mean, here's what they were thinking. What we're going to do is we're going to use this footage to trash Punk, but also say we weren't mentally ready for the match at All In.
Yeah.
And that second part, actually neither part really hit with me.
To be honest, like the part about not being mentally ready, I'm fine with that.
And they're honestly, heels. They're not supposed to be making good points.
No, but I mean, and that's a thing. So they're full of shit, and that's fine.
Yes, okay.
They're making excuses.
They need to play up more that they.
But you don't need that footage. That footage does not enhance the story at all, not one bit, in my opinion. I don't see how that footage helped it. But
I don't either.
Yeah,
and I don't see how the rebuttal promo helped it either.
Well, yeah, and we'll get to that. So they come back. Bucks are on the screen again. And he said that wasn't even the worst part of the incident. For me, the worst part was creating a wrestling show, naming it All In, filling a building with the most people that have ever attended a wrestling show, but only to be so distracted by something so stupid that you lose on your big night. At the end, FTR, you have the balls to ask us to shake your hands. At Dynasty, we're not shaking your hands with you, you pricks. And then they focused down, and Matt had a scapegoat shirt on. And that was that. Then, immediately, FTR's music hits, and we go to the ring. And Excalibur, oh my God, these guys aren't on the rundown. It's like, really? Really? What did you have for this 10 minutes then?
This is real. This is a shoot, not the imaginary pro wrestling.
Yeah. So Cash asked, why'd you show this footage? Because you got a built-in excuse as to why you're lost. I'm sick and tired of hearing about this, of talking about this. For some reason, he's wearing a Bart Simpson shirt. I don't know why. I guess it's for the comment he was going to make in a second. He says, we're ready to move on. I'm done with this. Instead of talking about Revolution or that we're going back to Wembley, we're showing videos from 8 months ago. Preach, brother. Rod and Todd Flanders can't let go that they lost to FTR.
That was a great line. I'm sorry.
I don't even... Oh, yeah, okay, I guess.
Rod
and
Todd Flanders, the kids of Ned Flanders on The Simpsons.
The religious kids, yeah, okay.
Yes.
At Dynasty, listen to me. At Dynasty, we've got to beat you. It's not for legacy. It's not for history. I'm sick of you petty little bitches. Preach. Dak said, that's our bosses. Every interview, every time we have a chance to talk, they keep saying, without them, hundreds of people would be without a job. Without them, AEW wouldn't even exist. He says, I don't even disagree with you. Without the Bucks, I still might be shaving hairs off his back. He says, because of the Young Bucks, we have something that makes them sick. Because of the Bucks, we've eclipsed them as the best tag team on this planet. At one time, you cared about these three letters, AEW. Now those other three letters have taken over. The only thing you care about is what's best for the EVPs. And meanwhile, in the back, people like Swerve, Joe, Daniel Garcia, Willow, everyone back there who wants to be a star, we're going to build this on our backs, not just for us. It's for the future of pro wrestling. They can make a decision, a living, and they can choose where they want to work. We're building this for every man, woman who goes to work and spends their money on one ticket, spends their hard-earned money to get lost in our drama, in our action. We're doing this for you. And he looks at the camera and he says, if the Young Bucks don't want to be part of that, AEW, grab your ball and go home. We got this. And there were light FTR chants here. And he stops and he says, I love you all too. But this ain't about Wembley or All Out. This is about AEW, a company I love in an industry I love. But it's also about the AEW Tag Team Champions. Two walk in, one team walks out. First ever three-time Tag Team Champions. Brick by brick, shingle by shingle, we'll put the roof on the top of this building just to blow it off. That was really inspired promo by Dax.
Got some Punk chants.
I missed them.
Obviously, people don't understand how hard it is to shave your back in our chat. I don't know. I like intense FTR. I just this entire segment, both of them were a miss for me.
Okay. And I can understand why. I mean,
we're getting too deep in the weeds here. Just make it about two teams that don't like each other.
Yeah, and they had that.
Yeah.
You know, like, and there were aspects of this where if they could have just removed the stuff about Punk, I think it works anyways, and it's actually better.
Yeah, or I mean, or you allude to them in the promos.
You know, yeah, you can, like, hey. But I don't think you need to because, no, again, the fact is...
I agree, you don't need
you've
to.
You've got the Bucks trying... Look, okay, people like Matt, and there's a lot of people like Matt, and I don't want to single him out, but he's the one guy in the chat that's kind of defending all this, and good. I appreciate that. I'm glad he's here. Those people really hate Punk.
Yes.
So to them, Punk is the heel. But the Bucks promo made him a babyface.
I agree.
And to me, the footage made him a babyface. You got fired over that? Like, what are we doing here? Like, and Punk said, stuff like this happens all the time. I'm sure this has happened in WWE. Remember when Danielson got his match stopped and reports were that him and Hunter had an argument backstage? Bet you it was just as bad as this. We've probably had stuff like this happen every week, maybe every month. And this resulted in, you know, like the show almost being canceled. Tony Khan had fear for his life. You know, like there had to be more to it. I'm assuming there was more to it, or it was just the culmination of a whole shitload of stuff that had been happening over, you know, ever since he came back from his injury. But if that's the case, then you should have dealt with it a long time before this happened. And I think that was actually Punk's point. And Punk in his interview even said, they should just let me go. Like, I asked them to release me. Like, they said, oh, we're going to give you the show. And we're going to, this isn't going to work. If you got a guy telling you it's not going to work and you put him in charge of the show, I got a hint for
general
you.
It's bigger,
not going to work.
The general giant AEW, you know, super fan thinks that Punk ruined what was a cohesive, harmonious atmosphere with his presence. And yeah. I'm here to tell you, he probably just exacerbated it.
Yeah.
And issues.
You don't think Punk's going to now, you think that's going to shut him up?
Oh, no. He's going on, on TV on Monday and talking about this.
Yeah. And you know what? Drew McIntyre is going to go out there and he's going to say, I just watched you get your ass kicked by a 140-pound son of an actor.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, there are people who think that this is going to help Drew come to AEW. I'm like, no.
Or it's going to help Jack Perry. Like, maybe. I mean,
you know what? The one thing I agree with, he's on that the Windy City Riot show.
Yeah, yeah. Matt pointed
out. In Chicago.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if that Windy City Riot crowd are the CM Punk super fans more than they are the indie fans who would hate CM Punk. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Well, not only that, here's one for you. I'll bet you 25 cents that CM Punk is in the building.
Oh, that would be funny.
Why not?
Probably because he has to do a house show or something. Oh, no, he's
injured. No, he's injured. He lives in Chicago. He's going to that show. He'll buy a ticket. There's lots of tickets available.
I would kind of be here for him to be there and to be vocal.
Oh, yeah. He'll be up. The fans will be chanting. He'll stand up, wave at them.
No, he'll be somewhere backstage, like peeking or something like that.
No, put him right in the middle of the people.
The promoter is going to say, no, we can't have you here, man. That's just too much heat.
Yeah. I kind of like this. I mean, you know, it's not a black and white issue. There'll be fans that cheer the Bucks. There'll be fans that cheer FDR. I like stuff that's real like that. There is an aspect to that. I would just say they're going out of their way to make the Bucks like really despicable heels. And I don't feel like the intention is to get some fans cheering them. I could be wrong. You know, it does seem to me that they're trying to get fans to boo the Bucks. But I could be wrong.
this didn't heal the Bucks all that much.
Depends on your perspective.
Well, to the fans that they were promoting the tape to, it
yes,
didn't heal them.
Correct. No, it made them baby faces.
Yes.
But then how are they going to react to FTR? So exactly. FTR is the heels, I guess, maybe. And you know what? That's fine. If you want to have a dueling.
If you want to do that, that's cool, yeah. But it's just dumb.
We'll see if it happens. Based on the crowd reactions on the rest of the show, I'm not sure, but we'll see. We got a video package for Danielson and Ospreay, which was narrated by Excalibur. It was pretty good. It was similar to one that I saw, I believe, on Rampage. I think it was Collision. They actually had interviews with Danielson and Ospreay on Collision that were both really interesting. And if you have time, maybe go watch them. It was Renee, and she was like backstage, and they were almost out of character interviews. with the two of them, and they were like decent length, like maybe like 5 minutes. They clearly like they didn't tape a lot of in-ring stuff as much as they usually do, so they had time to do this. And
I love that stuff. Put it on it Dynamite.
It was really good. I don't think it would work on Dynamite. Okay. But I'm not saying it wasn't good. Like, it was very good. It was the kind of stuff you would see on a countdown show. Mm. And I really, really liked it. I would say if you didn't watch a show and you want to go back and watch something, find those interviews. They were really good. So anyways, we get this interview. It was narrated by Excalibur. They showed footage of him and basically talking about how he can win this match. He has to take it to the ground, and they show footage of him training with BCC. And they heavily promoted the idea that it's Danielson's last year. So they're, you know, that's part of the story here. And then Renee called out Will Ospreay, and I wrote down again, I mentioned it earlier, they should have advertised that he was going to be doing a promo. It was in front of the crowd. So, you know, Ospreay's great in front of a crowd. People love him. They reacted huge. And he says, "I've been thinking about doing this all week." He said, "I only just saw the Bryan interview, so I want to address that as well. But Tony Khan told me you got 5 minutes. So go out there and talk about this." And he said, "There's a rumor going around that Will Ospreay is afraid of the grind." And I literally wrote in my thing, I honestly had, at this point, not a clue what he was talking about. No idea.
So okay. I
posted that question on Twitter. They said, "Oh, this is an answer to Triple H's interview on the Pat McAfee show."
Yes.
I don't watch the Pat McAfee show. I looked it up. They get about 150,000 viewers in the afternoon for that show. And I would imagine most of the people watching are NFL and WWE fans. So I'm going to say that most of the people watching this show probably were not aware. Now, I'm told these comments went viral, so maybe people saw them, maybe people heard about them.
If you lived on Twitter, you knew about them.
I don't.
I know.
And most of the people don't. So I had no idea what he was talking about. But then he brought up, and then he addressed the person that made those comments, and he said, "The only reason you have this job, the job you have, is because you're boning the boss's daughter." Crowd popped huge for that. Now they know he's talking about Triple H. That's when I figured he was talking about Triple H. I'm like, okay, this Triple H must have given some interview somewhere, you know. But at this point, I still didn't know it was Pat McAfee. And it's like, I don't really care what Triple H has to say in off camera, you know, in non character interviews. Partly because most of them are actually in character, you know, even when he's claiming to be not in character, but I don't watch any of that shit. And it's cause I don't care. I didn't watch the Punk interview. I didn't watch the Triple H interview. I just don't watch.
It's mostly in reference to the fact that Ospreay wanted to stay in the UK, yeah, and they wanted him to move to the States. I'm
right.
Fine
so
with
his
both points of view here.
Right. And he wanted to say that, you know what? Nobody grinds harder than me. I'm out here. I'm busting my ass every night. I'm traveling back and forth from England. You know, that's a grind. And yeah, he's right. So that's fine. You know what? Triple H's comments, if that's what he said, and if he specifically mentioned Will Ospreay, or if Will Ospreay thought he was talking about him, you know what?
Talking about Will Ospreay.
Okay.
And they addressed these big free agents. They went to AEW and okay. He goes, "Hey, some guys just don't like the grind of WWE." Okay. And WWE is a grind.
Yeah. And okay, whether that comment was justified or not, and I tend to agree with Will. You know what? It's not justified. This is not the forum to address it. Go do an interview somewhere else and talk about it.
I agree.
Yeah. You know, like, go on Pat McAfee. I'm sure Pat McAfee would have you on your show. I guarantee you Pat McAfee would interview Will Ospreay on his show. Do you hear the comment he had about the Sting match? He watches AEW.
Yes.
You know, Ariel Helwani would probably have him. I'm not sure that he'd want to go on Ariel Helwani. You know, I'm sure there's other shows he could go on to talk about this. Keep it off of Dynamite. I don't care. Yeah, it popped the crowd. Big deal. What did it build? You know, did it enhance your match with Danielson? You know what? I don't know. He started talking after that. He started talking about the Danielson match. I honestly have no idea what he said.
It was a rah-rah speech about how AEW has the best wrestling and the best wrestlers.
Okay.
And then we cut to Julia Hart in a House of Black video.
I literally, like, when I realized he was talking about Triple H, I stared at my screen. My mind went blank. And the next thing I remember seeing was that Julia Hart promo. I'm not even kidding. Like, it was like I was I lost consciousness or something for however much longer that interview went. So I
okay,
no
thank you, thank
said.
You, Alpha Omega, for clarifying that. He didn't specifically mention Ospreay. I actually watched the interview at the time. I just can't recall it. Trips intimated him by saying something like "unproven guys."
He was clearly talking about Ospreay. I mean, you know what? If that's
Because everybody was like, "Well, why don't we ask Triple H? How come he missed on those big free agents?"
So here's the thing. However many people that watch Dynamite, you know, let's say it's 800,000. However many of those people that watch Dynamite that also watch WWE and like them both, whatever percentage you want to put that in. I said earlier it's the majority. It's not the majority. Let's say it's 25%. Let's say there's 200,000 fans that watch AEW every week and love it and also watch WWE. You just pissed off those 200,000 fans. Did you pick up 200,000 new fans by talking about Triple H and CM Punk? I don't think so. So what's the point? You're rallying those hardcore fans that are go AEW, however many of them there are.
That hate WWE.
Yeah, that hate WWE. And there's a lot of them. I mean, AEW is built on that. AEW is built on the fact that people were not satisfied with WWE. And you saw that because when they brought in CM Punk, they got an influx. And that influx of people were people that had checked out of wrestling when Punk quit WWE. I fully believe that. Because the number of people that started watching AEW was about the same amount of people that Raw lost when Punk quit. I actually looked at the numbers. And so I fully believe that. Here's one. Cody didn't become the biggest babyface in the business by doing promos on Tony Khan. No, in fact, you know what? He's put over his time in AEW.
He says he's proud of AEW.
The freaking WWE put up a picture of the Young Bucks and said that they helped spark a revolution in the industry.
To be fair, put up Matt's last comment.
Okay.
I know.
Matt asked this one.
Yes.
So he asked, was WWE doing interview after interview, denigrating AEW to get clicks petty? That's why it's hard for me to take a lot of AEW criticism seriously. Lots of people happy if AEW went away. I'm sure you feel that way, and I'm sure there are people that feel that way, but I can't imagine that any serious wrestling fan wants AEW to go away.
No.
Even if you don't like AEW, you like the fact that it's there.
Here's the problem is that, Triple H will take his shots calling them a second rate company or a secondary company. It wasn't second rate. It was secondary company.
Yeah, he did that before. He hasn't done it in a while.
I mean, he will take his veiled shots. I mean, he took his shots on Raw when Billy Gunn was there and saying, we'll buy that pissant company or whatever. And whatever. I get that. But you got to take away that versus people who critique the actual product that they're putting on screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like us.
Yeah.
Because what we've now done is we've grouped it in, and especially because the AEW faithful are livid at the Conrad verse / Jim Cornette types who have a large listenership within the wrestling community. Who bag on AEW all day. Now, some of it's in good faith. A lot of it's in bad faith. I will admit that, especially Jim Cornette.
Well, for entertainment, I think. Probably. Yes. I don't listen, but I assume.
Yeah.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greg's got a good point here, and I love Greg, and I'm glad he's here. I feel like the McAfee line was discussed enough on social media where enough of the fan base got it, and it gives Ospreay some bait to pop the fan base and make him look like the lead company babyface.
And this is what this was for, and I think it worked in that sense.
Yeah, but I also think that a vast majority of those people already see Ospreay that way.
Well, like if Ospreay started cutting promos on Danielson about how Danielson was a company man for so long, that'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, I was a little blown away. So the Julia Hart promo, I wrote down, I assume she's talking about someone in WWE. Obviously she wasn't, but I did not know or care.
It was an anti-Willow promo.
Fair enough, because she's going to wrestle Willow for the title of Dynasty.
Yes. So
that was fine. And then we get the six-man match. Lionhook and Katsuyori Shibata against Shane Taylor, Lee Moriarty, and Anthony Ogogo. And I went back because I was curious. So I rewound back to see what time it was at the end of the Penta Copeland match and what time this match started. And it was 35 minutes between the end of one match till the beginning of the other match. And a vast majority of that time was spent talking about WWE. So just pointing that out. They had a match. I was still bothered by the thing. So I didn't write down a ton of notes. Lee Moriarty pinned Shibata. That's what I saw. Some sort of miscommunication with Jericho and Hook. The match was nothing. It wasn't bad or anything.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was to build an angle. I guess we're going to get Hook and Jericho. Probably not Dynasty. They're probably saving this one for Double or Nothing would be my guess. I just wish they would. I hope this ends soon because I'm also really tired of this Lionheart music. I don't understand.
I want to sing Judas.
Yeah.
I actually like the Lionheart music. I just don't like this character at all.
No. But at least now it's clear that this character's a heel.
Yeah.
So, which I'm glad that they finally got to that.
Because we haven't had any Chris Jericho heel stuff on this program ever.
No. Dustin Rhodes cut a promo on his match with Joe. It was a real good promo.
Yes.
He had an awesome promo on, I think it was Collision, might have been Rampage. This wasn't quite as good as that, but it was real good. I didn't really make any notes. It was impassioned, and it was more or less, like
he called himself the Natural.
Was this the one? Okay, so the one that I remember, and I can't remember if it was this one or the one before. Maybe he said in both, but he was talking about when his dad came home after winning the NWA World Title. He was 7 years old and he got to hold the belt, and he just thought, one day I'm going to get this. And now I'm 55 years old. I've never got it. And I need to get it.
No, I think that was the other one.
That was the other one. So he challenged Joe and Joe said, no, you haven't earned it. I kind of loved that. I really did. As much as I love Dustin, and I do love Dustin, Joe was right. You haven't earned it. So yeah. But this was good too. And then we got an Okada match, which they hadn't advertised. It was Okada versus Cristiano Argentino, making his 2024 Dynamite debut. I've never seen this guy, but I guess he probably wrestled in Dark at some point, or they would have said it was an AEW debut.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if I've seen him under a mask or something, but he's been a job guy or something like that.
Okay. So the match was just a showcase. Okada hit the dropkick and the Rainmaker and got the win. It was fine. Then he did a promo. He accepted Pac's challenge. I wrote down, what challenge? And then I remembered that Pac had challenged him on Collision after he did a squash match. But they didn't tell us about it, I don't think. So, unless you watch Collision, which most people didn't, you didn't even know about the challenge. But I think they did a square down, like a stare down last week or something. I do recall Pac coming out at some point when Okada was out there. So, but the actual challenge was on the show this weekend. And then,
he's done some stuff in NXT and Raw.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Under different names. One of those guys that almost would be in there, and he's like one of two guys to kill him.
He must have been on AEW the way they worded that graphic though, because
I think it was like a Dark Elevation type thing.
So I didn't exactly, I was kind of in and out on the show. And I also, I made the joke about Tony Khan, and I actually was dealing with my crying baby a lot today. So, or not baby, but crying child.
Okay.
So I didn't quite see how Pac got laid out. I assume he got attacked from behind by the Bucks. But they were in the ring, and the Bucks and Okada are beating on Pac, and then FTR made the save, but then the Bucks laid them out. We hit the double EVP trigger, and then Okada had a chair, and crowd is just silent through this. They were chanting for Punk. That's all I heard.
Yes.
And then Pac got up, and Okada just drilled him with a shot with the chair right to the head.
Yep.
And if I find out that Pac's injured again, it's going to be, what are they doing? But I like the angle. I thought it was good. Good post match angle, built up the matches. Nice. It was one of the better things in the show, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. We got highlights from Supercard of Honor showing the BCG defending their Trios title. Another unannounced match, and they did a promo. World Witness Switchblade putting a beating on Billy. I guess that was after the match, and he challenged someone on Rampage, but not Billy. And it's like, yeah, no kidding. You got your ass kicked by him last week. and so we'd find out later who he was going to be challenging. Then we got a Tony Storm champagne celebration. And again, I was kind of checked out of this a little bit, and dealing with Emily, and she's got celebration. Thunder Rosa was out there for some reason, and she attacked Thunder Rosa, started wiping off her face paint. Then Deonna Purrazzo made the save, but then as she was making the save, I guess Thunder Rosa thought she had attacked her, and they got in an argument, and Deonna walked off, and Tony Storm's just drinking champagne through this whole thing. I think it was real champagne. I'm not quite sure. Then as she's getting ready to leave, Mariah comes out for a match, Mariah May, and she stops, and Tony gives her a big kiss and then takes another swig of champagne. And then as Mariah's walking away, they show Luther carrying Tony to the back, and she's got this bottle and she's just chugging this champagne. I don't know what the hell this was, but
it's a segue to get to Mariah May versus Anna Jay while also trying to build
and establishing that Mariah May is a lesbian. I think I'm not positive, but the post-match, I'm not even joking. Like,
no, I know you're not joking, but at the same time, I'm still getting over. I hate the, you threw champagne in the eyes to blind her, and now she thinks that Deonna Purrazzo attacked her.
Yeah. So we get this match, Mariah May and Anna Jay, two heels.
Anna Jay's been kind of more babyface of late.
No.
Yeah, the JAS turned babyface when they turned on Jericho.
Not Anna Jay.
Yeah,
she's been wrestling heels the whole time.
Okay, fine.
She attacked Mariah May after the match. I don't know what was going on here, but I don't think the crowd did either.
Well, Tony Storm's also kind of a pseudo babyface.
Yeah, so, and Mariah May, I think, is kind of not even pseudo. I think people love her.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's Mariah May and Anna Jay. Excalibur was talking about Mariah May's big win over Momo Kongo Kogo on the Ring of Honor pre-show. This match went through a break. Crowd was pretty dead. This is where they gave the Rampage lineup. Get ready for this. Jay White and Matt Sydal. Julia Hart and Layla Hirsch. And that's a title match, by the way. Good thing we got rankings.
Has Layla Hirsch been on AEW since she came back, or has she only been ROH?
Only ROH.
That's ridiculous.
The promo that she did on Collision was saying, I've been gone for a long time, but I've been doing some good things, so I want to start with a bang, and that's why I'm challenging you, Julia Hart.
They actually turned her into a little bit of something on ROH, and okay.
Yeah. Angelo Parker and Zack Knight, they've been building that match for like a month. I'm assuming Zack Knight, for some reason, couldn't get into Canada. Because they were supposed to wrestle in Canada, and then like they didn't, and now they're not in Canada. They're going to do the match.
I've seen absolutely none of that build.
Yeah, and Orange Cat. Well, it's basically
it's Rampage.
Zack Knight just beats up Angelo Parker every week, and Ruby gets upset.
Okay.
Yeah. Orange Cassidy and Alex Reynolds. That's it. And then I wrote May pinned Anna Jay. I don't know.
I actually kind of enjoyed Mariah and Anna Jay for what it was.
It was fine. And it would like, it didn't end with her finisher, right? It was like a roll up or something.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is great. If you're listening on audio, I encourage you to go come back and read the exchange between Matt and the Dean. It's very entertaining. So after the match, Anna attacked Mariah May and gave her the Queen Slayer. And then some music I didn't recognize played, and which isn't unusual because I don't recognize anybody's music. And out comes a Japanese woman who they identified as Mina Shirakawa, who I've seen before, but I not enough to where I'd recognize her, especially when she's not in her wrestling.
No, group. they're hoping that you recognize her from her Ring of Honor on Honor Club appearance and her Ring of Honor on the pay-per-view appearance.
She also did an AEW match, I believe.
Did she?
I think so. I may be wrong on that.
I think you're wrong on that.
I think she did a match on Collision, but I could be wrong. Anyways, I know I've seen her a few times. And they did identify her, to be fair, and they told you she was from Stardom.
Yes.
And they pointed out that they had a reunion on a Stardom pay-per-view this past weekend, which
they did.
I imagine dozens of people that are watching this show bought.
Dozens of us.
Of us? You bought the Stardom pay-per-view?
Oh, no. I was doing an Arrested Development.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
She grabbed two glasses of champagne, which just happened to be at ringside. She picks up Mariah May, and the only thing I can say is lovingly caresses her. They stare deeply into each other's eyes. I tweeted out, are they going to fuck? Like, and I'm not even like, this is what it felt like. Like, I don't know. And Kevin Ely asked, is this a love triangle?
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
I don't know Mina's character, so I don't know what's going on. I just know
they're in Club Venus together.
She fed her champagne. She
Zaya Brookside's up in her eyes. I like Zaya Brookside too, but yeah.
I don't know. Both Tony and Mina kissed Mariah.
I kissed a girl and I liked it.
I liked it. I was confused. Like I don't know. Oh, and during this match, I should point out that they mentioned a few times that Alex Marvez is trying to track down Mercedes Moné for some words.
Yes.
Keep that in mind. Mercedes is wandering around backstage and Marvez is trying to find her to get some words from her. That's the way they presented this. Okay. So this segment, anything you want to add on this one? Because this was weird.
This felt like we were trying to inject a little bit of an attitude HLA. Era. HLA. Yeah.
I mean, hey, you know what? It's fine if that's the characters. Like,
if you want to do it, I'm cool with this.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's nothing
wrong with it.
And I'm gonna say it wasn't tasteless or anything. I'm not saying it.
It wasn't gratuitous.
No, not at all. It wasn't, and they didn't, and the announcers didn't like drool over it. You didn't have like one of the puppy. I'm like, oh my god, she kissed her. It was just
puppies. Oh my god, no.
It was fine, but it was just weird. I'm sure people that watch Stardom are like, oh, yeah, Mina does this all the time. It's like, okay. I don't know. So we go to Alex Marvez. He's found Mercedes. She just happens to be in a well-lit studio, dressed to the nines. And he's in his suit, and they've got mics and everything. So, whatever. Oh. I just thought it was really funny because the way they did it is like, he's going to try to find her and get some words. And they were on a set. And so she says,
no, they are literally on a set because there's a teleprompter that she's reading from.
Yep. Years ago at Double or Nothing, history was made. I'm a history maker, a game changer. I'm heading to Vegas to be the TBS champion. And as you know, money changes everything. So he asks, how do you handicap the Julia Willow match? She says, well, Julia is a hell of a champion. She's unpredictable, but she has Willow's number. Really? I think Willow pinned her. Anyways, Willow is a force to be reckoned with, and she's dangerous, and I know that firsthand. A year ago, I faced her for the NJPW Strong Championship. I got injured in this match, and I lost a chance to hold that championship, and I hate to lose. But being the CEO of AEW now, I almost said what she was probably going to say. I always have a plan, and I'm on a mission. And Alice asked her who she'd rather face, and the lights went out, and someone attacked her. I think we're supposed to think it's Julia, but I'm guessing it was actually Chris Statlander.
That's what I was going to say too. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taking my point from me, but thank you.
Sorry. I mean,
no, it's quite all right.
I'm just writing down the notes I made. But the funny thing is, I swear to God, I heard Julia. Like, I think it actually was Julia. I'm sure in 9 months we'll get footage on this and we'll get to see who it was. when Julia's in WWE. Julia is unpredictable. You can't predict her. Yeah, that's what unpredictable means. Yeah. On the Mercedes scale of promos, this was actually not bad.
Yeah, but I have some bad news. God, that's such a great line. It's like a Norm Macdonald line. Yeah, she's unpredictable. You know what that means? Means you can't predict her.
Yeah.
And just stare at the camera for a couple seconds. Mercedes is a system quarterback. And I've never been more upset by this.
Well, we you know, to be fair, we haven't seen her wrestle yet.
No, but in terms of promos and in terms of character, this is the one note she has.
Yeah, yeah.
She can't... I thought maybe with some of the acting training and with a free reign in a quote-unquote, you know, because AEW is a lot like a little art camp, maybe we'd see some range. Maybe we'd see something out of her. She needs it heavily scripted. And unfortunately, she sounds like she's reciting lines, which is the worst thing you can say about an actor.
To quote John Muse, who is in our Discord and who you and I both know, You hire a woman from WWE. You hire a WWE writer to write segments for her. What do you get? You get a WWE segment.
Yeah, well, I mean, you take the chance and you say, hey, you don't need to do all that stuff that you did over there. You can.
Who else is a byproduct and maybe a system quarterback? It's that woman.
It's a freedom of slavery thing. Yes. Yeah. No, Jen Pepperman. I said this, too. I said there's a chance that she only knows what WWE does for wrestling. So that's what all she's going to write. And it's like, I want to sit her down and go, let's watch some 80s territory wrestling and watch some of those promos there type of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I'm not sure that that's going to translate to somebody.
No, I agree. But I hold on. It's a risk you take. And I hold out hope that she has a banger of a match and then that forgives all of this.
I do wonder, I've heard, and I don't know if it's true, that she may be like, her contract may call for a limited amount of matches.
Okay.
So we may not, you know.
She has her eye going back to the other place. Her best friend.
Well, that's not necessarily what that means. Just, you know, that she's.
No.
I don't know how long she's
going to be treated like a special attraction.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know what? There's that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Hey, but, yeah. Why do they call it a headlock when you don't lock the head? Thank you. My Norm Macdonald is a wrestling commentary thing. I'm doing that for Kevin because he's.
All right.
Yeah.
Where was I in my notes here? Here we go. Oh, Samoa Joe versus Dustin Rhodes. That was next. And I didn't write down a ton on this. Dustin got busted open. I believe it was during the commercial. I will point out that Joe had that attack from Swerve earlier. Might as well have not even happened. He was fine. You know, he did the majority of the match before the commercial. After the match, Dustin kind of took over. Crowd was starting to get into it as he was making his comeback. He went outside the ring to get a belt, and he was going to hit Joe with it, but the ref convinced him not to. And then Dustin hit the crossroads, and he got a great near fall out of that. Joe grabbed a chain. He was going to hit Dustin with it. The ref stopped him, grabbed the chain, turns his back to put the chain away. And while he did that, Joe grabbed his belt, laid out Dustin with the belt, and he got the pin. And that was that. And then he got attacked by Swerve after the match. Locker room made the save. Joe left without his belt. And then Excalibur mentions, I believe for the first time in the show, that Saturday. Oh, no, I think he had mentioned it one time earlier. But Battle of the Belts is on Saturday. They did not announce a single thing. Someone pointed out to me on Twitter that they did announce a match on Saturday for Battle of the Belts, which is Rocky Romero against Roderick Strong. And it's not even for the title. It's a proving ground match or whatever they call it.
Title eliminator.
Yeah.
Which this was. And
Layla Hirsch gets a title match, but Rocky Romero.
Yes.
He's got to do a title eliminator.
Yes.
Yeah.
This match lost the plot in a way.
Yeah.
Because what it needed, look, the blood was superfluous, but it shouldn't have come from Dustin just running into something. It should have come from Joe beating the crap out of him and beating him to the point where it's almost uncomfortable, where the announcers are saying, we need someone to come down here and stop this type of a thing. And also, I'll just throw this out here. What would have been wrong with Dustin winning this match with Swerve's help, just to then have another clean match for the actual title?
I saw people bring that point up. I wouldn't have done it, but depending on how you did it, it could have worked, especially with the pre-match attack.
That's not my heaviest thing. My heaviest thing was the amount of blood here, and then they did, and then that we're gonna do the thing where he's gonna do a post-match thing, and then Swerve comes out for this save eventually. It was just one of those things where it's like the blood was unearned. The blood needed to come from Joe's viciousness at being angry over Swerve attacking him beforehand, as opposed to Dustin hitting a post or something to that effect. He needed to grind in there. He needed to do some of the Cody work on the blood there a little bit with Rock digging into his forehead kind of a thing. Yeah, that was one thing. I mean, look, it was a Dustin match. It was good. Dustin's still very good at 55. It was just one of those things where it's like, why is he bleeding 4 minutes in this match when this isn't a blood feud, really? I mean, that's what I was looking at.
Well, you know why? Because Cody bled on Raw. That's probably why.
I don't care. I mean,
no, I know, but I'm just
I don't even remember that, to be honest with you. Now that I think
not this week. With The Rock, you know, that angle a couple
weeks. Okay, yeah, that's fine. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, are we making Swerve? I mean, yeah, I just
well, somebody pointed out you had a Rhodes against a Samoan named Joe.
Like, you could have had Joe even get DQ'd in this match.
Yeah,
he shoves the referee away and he just starts beating on Dustin. It gives him the quote unquote win.
Yeah,
in the title.
Well, what I even suggested, and I don't think this actually works because of how Swerve is being presented right now. But you could have had Swerve attack Joe during the match, costing Dustin the match, and then that leads to a Swerve Dustin match next week.
Okay,
you can do that, but I do the same thing with Joe.
Yeah, want that. I would want Joe taking the chain, being so enraged by this, remembering the attack at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And just getting DQ'd for kicking too much ass.
I thought Dustin should have had the match from the beginning with Joe selling that attack from earlier.
Yeah, that could have happened too.
But instead they had Joe just as if the attack didn't even happen. Like, I'm not even sure why they did it, other than to kick off the show with Samoa Joe and Dustin, tell you about the Bucks footage, but then also tell you that, stick around for Joe and Samoa and Dustin, because that's the only match other than the opener that people were going to care about on this show, probably.
Yeah, it felt like to me, we just want to give Joe a match so that Swerve can come in and attack him, but we didn't really, we'll give it to Dustin because whatever.
Because Cody got the world title this week. I mean,
yeah, there's
no way that's a coincidence.
No, I agree, but it's we don't want Dustin to win on the same week his brother just won the biggest title in the sport, so.
Yeah, he could have won. Yeah, he could have won. I wouldn't have done it. But
I would have done the win by DQ and then he gets killed in the actual title match. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you could do that too. You could build it
because one of these title eliminator people need to win.
Well, you know, they did one on Ring of Honor this past week where
I don't care.
The infantry, they had a proving ground match with Bennett and Taven and they actually lasted the 10 minutes. So they didn't win, but they lasted 10 minutes, which gives them an automatic title match. So they took their title match on the pay-per-view the next night and they got killed.
Yes.
So I don't know. So yeah, that was the show. When they were showing the people making the saves, I think I saw Rhett Titus as one of the people in there splitting everybody up.
I saw that on Twitter. I believe you're correct.
Oh, I just saw it on the show. I didn't notice anybody. I mean, Action Andretti.
You mean on the actual TV, not the grainy footage. That was Chris.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know. I heard about that. So I guess Rhett Titus he had a match on the Ring of Honor recently too. So it'd be cool. All those people that got fired. Did you hear that Tony paid well into six figures for a Lynyrd Skynyrd song that played at the end of the ROH pay-per-view. And I've never even heard. Huh?
Give me back my bullets. That was the original Briscoe's theme.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't realize
Ring
that.
Of Honor historian.
Ugh. I don't watch the entrances. I do know the man up thing, you know, reach for the sky, boy.
Yeah, like, no, that's what they recorded when they could no longer broadcast Give Me Back My Bullets because of the rights fees when they got on TV.
So he paid more money for that song to play once at the end of a pay-per-view that nobody watched than it would have cost to pay any of those guys he fired for a year that he told me he was cutting for budget cuts.
My hypocrisy knows no bounds. Doc Holliday, yeah. Tombstone.
Yeah. I wanted to point this out. Kevin mentioned it earlier, and I didn't want it to be in the show, so I'm putting it here. Ariel posted the video with CM Punk's audio laid over it, saying Punk was proven right. Watch AEW pull it for copyright so Ariel can go on air saying they pulled it. Yeah, and apparently I think they did. So Kevin was right. You have to have a deep understanding of storytelling to know that Mark Briscoe song. Yeah. That's long-term storytelling right there. CM Punk. See, we're bringing it all back. It's Skynyrd's best song. Really? I've never heard it.
Like, I know. Literally... You should go. It's a deep cut. You should go there.
I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I was just confused. I'm like, why aren't they playing Reach for the Sky, boy? Like, I love that song. Like, I, you know what? Like, never mind. Like,
actually, it's my favorite song. It's a Freebird and Sweet Home Alabama are still
Someone in the Discord, in the chat, like for the Ring of Honor show, said they teared up when they heard the song. And I'm like, that's, I was just confused. Like, I, you know,
I like Skynyrd.
Yeah, I don't really. So I, yeah. Yeah, we know Punk is going to be on Ariel next week, I'm sure. I haven't heard it or anything, but guarantee you.
You like Petty.
Yep. Petty
You're
Punk.
Get it.
I had a new nickname for him. I called him Pissy Punk. Pissy Punk is best punk. Tuesday's gone.
Good song.
I love that song. No, that's a good I really do love that song. Yeah.
You might be right. I just love Give Me Back My Bullets, especially live versions.
I've never heard it. I mean, it fits. I mean, just
live versions are a little bit more upbeat than the recorded versions. Recorded versions are a little slow, but yeah.
You realize that in order to have heard those songs, you would have probably had to be, what, buying the DVDs? I guess, or going to the shows live.
Maybe I think I first saw it with associated with the Briscoes on a YouTube supercut.
Okay, so you know they're illegally using the music. Yes. When I watched these matches, I watched them on Ring of Honor Classics, which we got up here on Fight Network. That's how I became a Ring of Honor historian. I watched all the matches, but they don't have the rights to play the music, so they would either play like, you know, just bogus music, or they would play whatever their new theme is. So that, you know, like, because I don't know the songs doesn't mean I didn't follow ROH. It just means that I didn't.
Nobody
see
was
live.
Accusing you of not.
You did.
I made a joke.
I know.
I started a joke.
Freebird live in Oakland Stadium. Ooh, that sounds good. Yeah, I like Freebird too.
I've seen that video. That's great. That's a great video.
Yeah. There was a really good video to Freebird they used to play on UWF too.
All right, let me get my plugs in.
All right, do your plugs.
Follow me at Crap Game 13 on Elon Musk's X, aka Twitter. Arcane references, snark, bad opinions according to some people. I don't care. I'm going to post them there. I also do a show over on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network called Shake Them Ropes this week. A lot of review of NXT Stand and Deliver. Ooh. WrestleMania weekend nights 1 and 2. Aunt Pam getting her moment, possibly stealing the show, according to some. And we'll get to Chris Novembrino's thoughts on this AEW Dynamite, which I'm sure will be interesting. But and that'll drop sometime later this week.
I got a new show on this network called Joy of Wrestling. Check it out if you haven't yet. I had Jeremy Finestone on this week where he talked about his experience how wrestling basically got him back into socializing with people. It's a really cool story. And it's a quick show. It's 20 to 30 minutes. So you can check that out. That airs every Monday at 11 p.m. Eastern. We do it live, although this coming week we're going to be pre-recording and then just dropping the show at that time. So I'm going to have Darren Daza Wadsworth on this coming week. So you can check that out. And I had Kevin Ely from The Boom on my first show. So you can, The Joy of Wrestling, it's called. And yeah, and Alpha Omega, we are, and everyone else listening, in case if this is your first time, we are here every week live at 10:20 Eastern, 20 minutes after Dynamite ends. And you can also listen to the podcast version on the Fight Game Media audio feed, which is free. Just search Fight Game Media on all your podcast platforms. So for Jeff, I've been Paul. This has been the Dynamite Show.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.